Glory to God. Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. This is the day the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice and be glad in it. We've been on a series called The Journey Beyond Normal, Average, and Ordinary. The Journey Beyond Normal, Average, and Ordinary. Many people are stuck in normal, average, and ordinary. That's why it's called normal, average, and ordinary. But we don't want to stay stuck there. We don't want to live there. We don't want to camp there. We don't want to pitch our tent there. God's got bigger things. He's got better things for us. And there is a journey beyond normal, average, and ordinary. We are not stuck. Amen? Hallelujah. Not all destinations are an hour or two away, I said. They're not even something that can be reached in a day. Some destinations are a little bit more. Some destinations are a little bit farther. And some destinations don't even have a specific arrival time. So sometimes you just can't count on, okay, you know what? I got to figure it out. Tomorrow at 3:30, I'll be there. Not everything is set up that way. Not all destinations have a specified arrival time. What does that mean? That means that many are a journey. It's a journey. There's this process. There's this process that happens over time, a journey. Hallelujah. And so Romans chapter 4, verse 12, the latter part of the verse, says this, that we are to walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. We are to walk in the steps of faith of our father, Abraham. The word steps in the Greek means to go. It means a track. It means to arrive. It means footprint. It can also be translated imitating the example of someone. So when we're instructed to walk in the steps of the faith of our father, Abraham, we're instructed to go. We're instructed to walk, to arrive, to walk in his footsteps, to walk and use him as an example in our lives. God has set him as an example for us. There is a path, there is a track there that he has walked before us. We're to follow after, that we are to walk in the steps of faith of our father Abraham. Steps indicate a journey. Steps indicate a journey. One step after another. Amen? A journey. Pioneers are the ones that keep moving forward. Pioneers are the ones that keep going ahead. Pioneers are not the ones that stop and camp and set up their camp and then stay there. Well, the settlers do that. But pioneers are designed, this is who we are, to continue to move forward. Steps indicate a journey. We're on a journey, glory to God. We're walking in the steps of faith of our father, Abraham. And so pioneers go beyond normal, average, and ordinary. And we already talked about, the scripture tells us that Jesus has left an example for us, right? So I'm imitating an example of someone. He is an example for us to follow, to imitate. And then Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 tells us that we are to be imitators of God as dear children. And so we are to imitate our Father God, act like Him. We are to enjoy the journey on the way to the destination. Why? Because we're spending a whole lot of time in the journey. There's more time in the journey than at the destination. And I said last week that the fact of the matter is, and the truth of the matter is, that there is actually many destinations. In our journey, there is made up of many destinations. So it's not just one destination. There are many destinations. Many steps in our journey, and He's taking us somewhere. And we get to there, and then there's somewhere else He's taking us. And we get there, and there's somewhere else He's taking us. There's going to be a bunch of destinations in our journey. Hallelujah. We're going to continue to accomplish and fulfill things in our journey, made up of many destinations. One of the things we see, the Apostle Paul said, listen, I'm going to continue to move forward, answering the upward call of God. Amen? The upward call, the upward invitation of God in Christ Jesus. And so there, there are many destinations. We're going to get to one, but there's going to be an invitation, another call to move up higher. Amen? We continue to move upward, answering the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 2:19 says that we are not normal, average, and ordinary because we are citizens of the kingdom of God and we are children of the family of God. That automatically makes us not normal, average, and ordinary. Amen? And so we ought not to settle for just living normal, average, and ordinary. So as we walk with God, as that's what this journey is, to walk with God, we need three things. I'm bringing out three things. I'm highlighting three things. Number one, we need to trust Him. And so we talked about trust already. We need to praise Him, and we need to grow in Him. And so we talked about trust and why it's important to trust Him. Why? Because He's God. He's the Creator, and He loves us so very, very much, and He has a great plan for us. And so we followed and we watched Abraham as our father. We watched him because we're encouraged. The Word of God tells us that we are to walk in the steps of our father Abraham, so his steps of faith. And so we looked at him last week, his steps of faith, trusting God, walking with God, and continuing to his journey with God, his journey of success and increase and supernatural and protection and all the good things that God had for him, promotion. And so the journey beyond normal, average, and ordinary will require us to also trust God every step of the way because He is faithful. He's faithful. Our God is faithful. And so today I want to talk about praise. Praise. We are to praise Him. So let's quickly go to three verses. Psalm 113. Actually, we're going to go through a bunch of verses this morning. Psalm 113. So if you need to just write these down, if I'm going too quickly, you might just need to write these down and look them up when you get home. Hallelujah. Psalm 113, verse 3. We can even start in verse 2. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its going down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Amen. From the rising of the sun till the time that it goes down, the name of the Lord is to be praised. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. That just sounds like a lot of time, all the time. Right? From the time the sun comes up, time it goes down, we should be praising His name. His name is to be praised. Philippians 3 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God, says this, "Finally, my brethren or family, rejoice in the Lord." Rejoice in the Lord. Finally, rejoice in the Lord. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, Philippians 4:4 says this, "Rejoice in the Lord, always. Again, I say, rejoice." So our praise is released in joy and thanksgiving and adoration to our great God. Amen? Hallelujah. Our praise is released in joy and thanksgiving and adoration to our great God. We are to praise and rejoice in Him. So I've spent, a whole series on faith's secret weapon, talking about praise and rejoicing. We talked about praise and rejoicing a lot throughout last year. And so I want to, move in a little bit different direction in regards to praising Him. We are to praise Him. Why? Why? Habakkuk chapter 3. We're to praise and rejoice Him, in Him. Hallelujah. Praise and rejoice in Him. Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Now, verse 17 talks about, not everything's going very well. Matter of fact, it's been a bad day, it's been a bad week, it's been a bad year. You know, not everything's going so well, verse 17. But verse 18 says this, yet. So it doesn't matter what it looks like, it doesn't matter what it feels like, it doesn't matter what, the report has been, yet. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high hills. It doesn't look like that because everything's not going so well in verse 17, yet I will rejoice. And we'll see things turn around, right? I will rejoice. He'll cause things to turn around. I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. So why? Why are we to praise Him? Why are we to rejoice in Him? Because He is our Lord and the God of our salvation. He's the God of our salvation. The word salvation, both in the Greek and the Hebrew, can be translated this way. So it means this and it can be translated this. All these words come from the same Greek word. It come from the same Hebrew word. So any of these words can be used. He's the God of our salvation. So it's the word, so this word salvation can also be translated as saved, healed, wholeness, preservation, safety, deliverance, prosperity, victory, avenged. So he says he's the God of our salvation. He's the God of our salvation. He's the God of our healing. He's the God of our wholeness. He's the God of our preservation. He's the God of our protection. He's the God of our safety. He's the God of our deliverance. He's the God of our prosperity. He's the God of our victory. He's our avenger. He's defending and protecting us. Amen? He's vindicating us. It's called justice. He's setting things right, putting things right, making things right in our life. He's the God of our salvation. Why should we praise Him? Because He's the God of our salvation. Why should we praise Him? He's the God of our healing. Why should we praise Him? He's the God of our prosperity. Why should we praise Him? He's the God of our victory. Right? He's our source. He's our strength. That's who He is. Why should we praise Him? That's why. He's our Lord and the God of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. The God of our salvation. Hebrews chapter 4. Starting in verse 1. Says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering His rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. So there is a promise. Therefore, since a promise remains to enter His rest or His Sabbath rest, let us fear. We're to reverence and respect Him. Why? Because there is this rest that remains for us. But also, the Bible tells us that fear has torment. In other words, we ought to consider the torment and the punishment of us missing out and coming short of what He has for us. Right? Because we're motivated by what? Two things, pain and pleasure. Punishment and reward. So he said, listen, I want you to fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. Consider the consequences of coming short of it. There is a Sabbath rest that remains for us, a promise of a Sabbath rest for each and every one of us. And we are to fear lest any of us seem to come short of it. We seem to get stuck in normal, average, and ordinary. He does not want us to come short of this Sabbath rest that He has for us. Say Sabbath rest. There is a rest, a Sabbath rest. Sabbath rest is this, supernatural rest and double portion. Supernatural rest and double portion. On the Sabbath day, they weren't to gather. right? The manna. They weren't to go out and gather the manna because it actually doubled and multiplied the day before the Sabbath. They were to gather what they needed the day before, but they weren't to gather on the Sabbath. Why? Because it multiplied the day before. But all the rest of the week, they were to gather every day. And they weren't to keep any because it actually rotted. You couldn't keep it. You had to get rid of it and go gather some more. But on the Sabbath, it was completely different. Sabbath day was different. They got to rest because they didn't have to gather. And what they'd gathered before multiplied. Sabbath rest. Supernatural rest and double portion. Double portion. The double. Hallelujah. Verse 2, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. The gospel is a natural word. When one king would overtake a nation, then He would proclaim the gospel. The gospel is a natural word. It's not a Bible word. A gospel, they would proclaim the gospel, the good news. It means good news. I've taken over the kingdom. I've taken over the kingdom. Now you're part of my kingdom, and I'm going to share the good news about what I am going to do as your new king for you. Gospel. It's a natural word. And the Bible has just absorbed it because we have a king. His name is Jesus. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he has also a gospel. He has good news. Good news of what he's going to do for us. Also good news about what he has done for us. Amen. And that's what the gospel of Christ is all about. So the gospel of the kingdom is all the good news about the kingdom of God and God's way of doing things, his right way of doing things. The gospel of the kingdom is all about God and how he does things. Jesus, all he preached was the gospel of the kingdom. Seed time and harvest. Let me give you some kingdom principles. This is the gospel of the kingdom. And then we see the gospel of Christ. Once we get into Acts, and the Apostle Paul preached the gospel of the kingdom, but he also preached the gospel of Christ. Why? What's the gospel of Christ? The good news about who we are in Christ. Jesus never preached the gospel of Christ because he hasn't raised from the dead yet. He hadn't paid the price yet. There was no gospel of Christ until the resurrection, the death, burial, and resurrection. Who we are in Christ is a revelation that was hid until an appointed time, and it was revealed to the Apostle Paul, and he began to preach who we are in Christ. We are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. He began to preach the gospel, the good news of who we are in Christ. That's the gospel of Christ. And it is part of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And so he said the gospel was preached to them. There was good news preached to them, talking about that first generation in the wilderness. The gospel was preached to them, but the word that they heard did not profit them. It didn't benefit them. It didn't help them. It didn't advance them. So it's interesting. We can hear the gospel preached, and it can at the same time not profit us. It cannot benefit us, and it cannot help us. We can hear the word. The Bible says when faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, the word came. They preached the gospel and the word that they heard. Faith came, but the word that they heard didn't profit them. Why? Because even though faith came, they did not mix faith with what they heard. They heard, faith came, but because they didn't mix faith, what does that mean? They didn't believe and act. They didn't believe and act on the word that they heard. So faith came, they didn't believe it, they didn't act on it, And so even though faith came, they didn't believe and they didn't act on it, and it didn't work for them. It didn't profit them, it didn't help them, it didn't benefit them. The sad truth of that is that's still happening way too often today. People hear the word, they choose not to believe it or not to act on it, and it doesn't help them, and then they get frustrated. Because they've heard the word, they know the word, and they know what they're supposed to look like, things are supposed to look like. It's frustration, because it's not happening that way. And he says, the reason is because we don't believe it, or we don't act on it to produce results. Or else we don't stick with it long enough to see the results. Remember, we're on a journey. We're on a journey beyond. We're going beyond normal, average, and ordinary. We're on this journey. This is this process. A process. And sometimes many people don't like the process. They want instant. Instant this, instant that. But there's a process. We need to trust the process. We need to trust the working of the Lord. We need to trust the promises of God. We need to trust His faithfulness. We are working with Him, walking with Him. There's this journey. There's this journey. Hallelujah. So, we see first of all this phrase, Sabbath rest. Then he goes on verse 3, "For we who have believed do enter that Sabbath rest as He has said." So we who have believed do. I just like this. I just saw it this way one day. We who have believed do. Believers do. We need to do. In order for the word to work, we need to believe it and we need to do. We need to do. Believers need to do. We need to be doers of the word, not hearers only. Believers do. For we who have believed do. And because we believe and we do, we enter that rest. We enter the Sabbath rest, supernatural rest in double portion. As he has said, "So I have sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Why? Because they didn't believe and they didn't do. They had a choice, right? It's not that God's being mean. They just chose not to believe and not to do. So he said, "You're not going to enter my rest. You are not going to enter into the promised land." So they stayed in the wilderness and they died. He gave them so many opportunities to believe and do. Believe and do, believe and do, believe and do. And they kept not believing and not doing. To where he finally said, "Okay, you'll get what you want." All they said over and over and over and over as a crowd was, "You brought us out here to die in the wilderness. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness. You brought us out here to die in the wilderness." And he finally said, "Okay, you're going to have what you say." He said, "Everyone 20 years old and younger is going in. All the rest of you, you're going to die in the wilderness like you said." That's what God said. "You said that, so you're going to have what you say." I'm just tired of hearing it over and over and over and over and over for 40 years. So, he said, "Okay, you're not going to enter my rest." Interesting. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. So again, verse 3. "For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, I've sworn in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest, although the works were already finished from the foundation of the world." God had prepared a Sabbath rest for them, a rest, a promised land for them, and it was finished and complete from before the foundation of the world. It's finished, complete, and done. God already figured it out. All they had to do was believe and do. Believe and do, and they would get there. Believe and do, and they would get there, because it was already finished, complete, and done. God's not trying to figure this out on the fly. He already got it planned out. He's already figured out, just believe and do, and I'll get you there. You'll get there. They didn't. So God said, "Okay, you won't go in, even though it was finished, complete, and done." Isn't that interesting? Jesus has redeemed us from the curse of the law. It's already finished, complete, and done. Genesis chapter 1 says, God On the sixth day, he finished. Everything was very good, and he rested. On the seventh day, he rested. Not because he was tired. He rested because he was, the Bible says, finished, complete, and done. Finished, complete, and done. Jesus has redeemed us from the curse. Finished, complete, and done. He's not having to go to the cross every day. He's not having to shed his blood every day. No, no, it's finished, complete, and done. Right? See, chapter 9, verse 12. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, Jesus, he entered the most holy place once for all. Once and for all. He's not having to do it over and over and over again. He's did it once and for all. Everybody. Everybody's covered. He did it once and he covered everybody. He's not having to do it again. Once and for all, having obtained eternal redemption. The word eternal, one translation says, he has secured a complete redemption for us. It's finished, complete, and done. He's secured a complete redemption for us. We can miss out on it if we don't believe and do. Believe and do, and he said, you will enjoy what's already finished, complete, and done. Your healing is already finished, complete, and done. Your prosperity is already finished, complete, and done. Our victory is already finished, complete, and done. Our protection is already finished, complete, and done. Our wholeness is already finished, complete, and done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Wholeness is finished, complete, and done. Hallelujah. Our deliverance, our healing, our salvation, our safety, our victory, him avenging us, it's already finished, complete, and done. All we need to do is believe and do. Believe and do. Believe and act on his word. So, verse 4. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day. Interesting. Interesting. We've been talking about the Sabbath day, Sabbath rest. And now he switches over. He adds another word. He says seventh day. Say seventh day. Seventh day. Okay, say Sabbath day. Okay, so there's Sabbath rest and the seventh day. He's pulling out these words. We're tying all these words together. He's tied them together, and we're going to bring this puzzle together by the end of the service here. So he says, for he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience and unbelief. So even though it's finished, complete, and done, supernatural rest and double portion, Sabbath rest, Sabbath, there's a Sabbath rest for us. Supernatural rest and double portion. But then he begins to talk about a seventh day. And the seventh day lets us know that on the seventh day, everything was actually finished, complete, and done. The seventh day, finished, complete, and done. So the Sabbath day is a day of rest and double portion, but it's also a day where we live and we function and operate where everything is actually finished, complete, and done. God's already finished, complete, and done. Sabbath, seventh day. Sabbath, seventh day. Our job is to believe and do because he is already finished, complete, and done. The price has already been paid, finished, complete, and done. So there's a Sabbath rest that remains. Verse 7, again, he designated a certain day, saying to David, today. Oh, here's a third word. Today. Say the word today. 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 So there's this Sabbath rest he's talking about, and then he ties it in with seventh day where everything's finished, complete, and done, and now he throws in the word today. Today. Today, after such a long time as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. They harden their hearts. Why? Through disobedience and unbelief. So he said, listen, don't harden your heart. In other words, obey and believe. Believe and obey. Believe and do. Don't harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not have afterwards spoken of another day. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Say, that's me. That's me. There's a Sabbath rest for us. Amen? There is something way beyond normal, average, and ordinary for us. Supernatural rest and double portion. Hallelujah. There remains therefore a rest, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. We can tap in and we can function in and we can step into what God has already finished, complete, and done. We're not having to work. We're not having to struggle. We're not having to make something happen on our own. Our doing, our work of doing, our work of acting and obeying the Word of God is tapping into what He has already finished, complete, and done. We're tapping into an anointing. We're tapping into supernatural rest and double portion. It's not saying we don't do anything. It doesn't say we don't work. It just says that we don't struggle to try to make something happen on our own. We're stepping into, our work is stepping into and plugging into what He has already finished, complete, and done. Hallelujah. So, he brings up these three words again. Sabbath day, seventh day, and today. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." What kind of a day is it? It's the day the Lord has made. Yeah, but what kind of day is it? Well, if we back up to verse 21, it says this, "I will praise you." Why should we praise Him? "I will praise you, for you have answered me and have become my salvation." Why should we praise Him? Because He's the God of our salvation. Amen? And what kind of day is this? This is the day the Lord has made. What kind of day is this that He has made? It's a day of salvation. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of saved. It's a day of healed. It's a day of wholeness. It's a day of preservation and protection and safety. It's a day of deliverance and prosperity. It's a day of victory. It's a day where He's avenging us. He's vindicating us. He's setting things right, putting things right, making things right. That's what kind of day it is. It's a day of salvation. It's a day of healing, deliverance. It's a day of freedom, preservation, victory, victory. Hallelujah. That's what kind of day it is. It's a day of salvation. And how do I know that? Well, if we go to Isaiah chapter 49, Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49. Isaiah 49 and verse 8. Isaiah 49 and verse 8. Isaiah 49 and verse 8. What's he say in verse 8? He says, "Thus saith the Lord, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you." See, in the day of salvation. In the day of salvation I've helped you. In a day of salvation, I will preserve you. That's one of the words for salvation. Preservation. I'll preserve you. Protect you. With long life, I will satisfy you and show you my salvation. Amen? He said, listen, and in the day of salvation, I've helped you, I will preserve you, and I will give you as a covenant to the people. What are you going to do? He's going to give us something as a covenant to the people, a demonstration of His covenant, that we're His covenant children, we're His children, we're His family, we're citizens of the kingdom. He's going to give us something to restore the earth. The word restore in the Hebrew includes the word success. I'm going to cause you to succeed. I'm going to enable you to succeed in every area of your life. We want to be successful in our healing, successful in our mind, successful spirit, soul, and body, financially. I mean, successful. There are people that are financially successful that are not physically successful. There are people that are financially successful that are not spiritually successful. There are people that are spiritually successful and not financially successful. God's got the whole package, finished, complete, and done. Sabbath day. Amen? Supernatural rest and double portion. Seventh day, where everything's finished, complete, and done. Jesus has secured a complete redemption for us through his precious blood. He has redeemed us. Cause you to succeed. It's a day of salvation. I'm going to help you, I'm going to preserve you, and I'm going to give you as a covenant to the people to succeed and to cause you to inherit the desolate heritages. The word heritages is the word estates. Will cause you to inherit estates. Increase, increase, increase. Financial blessing and increase. But he calls it in the day of salvation. In the day of salvation. In the day of salvation. Now, this is not it. This is not it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. He's not over. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Verses 1 and 2. Sabbath day, seventh day, today. And he calls it salvation. It's the day of salvation. The day of salvation. Verse 1. We then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. God has given us his grace. He's graciously responding and favorably acting on our behalf with his power, his ability, and his resources. He's enabled us. He's enabled us. He's equipped us. Don't receive that grace in vain. We're working together with him. We're on this journey working together with him. Going beyond normal, average, and ordinary. So don't receive the grace in vain. In other words, tap into it. They did not tap into it. They heard the word. The word was preached, but it didn't profit them. They received it in vain. They didn't work together with him. They didn't believe and do. They didn't believe and do. He says, I want you to believe and do. Don't receive the grace of God in vain. For he has said, because he said this, in an acceptable time I have heard you. Yeah, but sometimes that actually means nothing if we receive the grace of God in vain. If we receive the grace of God in vain, it makes no difference whether he heard us or not because nothing happens. They heard the word, but they didn't believe it and act on it, and it didn't produce results. They received the grace of God in vain. He says, and in a day of salvation, I have helped you. See, if we receive the grace of God, he's able to help us. It's not enough just to know that he wants to help us. We actually want to experience his help. Don't receive the grace of God in vain and just know that he wants to help but experience no help. We need to believe and do. Believe and act. Believe and obey. So he can work, manifest, do, produce. We can enjoy benefit and results. He said, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, behold, he says, look at, pay attention. He says, behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right? So now, this is another word, say now. So here's another word thrown in here. We've got Sabbath rest. We have seventh day. We have today. Today is the day of salvation. We have the word now. Now, today. Now, today. When? Now, today. When's it available? Now, today. The price has been paid, so it's available when? Now, today. It's all been finished, complete, and done, so it's available for us now, today. But what if it doesn't happen now, today? Well, it's all gone. When we get into tomorrow, tomorrow is going to be now, today. We're always living in now, today. If we get stuck in yesterday, that's why God says, listen, you need to forget about and quit letting the past hinder us. If we live in the past, we'll never enjoy now today. And if we live in the past, we're never going to experience a great tomorrow. Because we're stuck in the past, we're being held back in the past, we're living in the past. It does not bring us to what we want. Too many people are living in the past, and they're settling for normal, average, and ordinary. Living in the past is not a pioneer spirit. It's not a pioneer attitude. It's not what moves us forward. It holds us back. So we can't live in the past. We can learn from the past, but we have to apply the learning to today. Now today. And we can't even live in the future. We can't even just have all these great plans and wishes and desires for the future and not do anything today. What are we doing today to bring those plans and desires and that stuff in the future to pass? We can't just dream. Dreams don't produce results. It's what we do now today. It's the doing now today that produces results. Doing now today. Not just dreaming. Not just thinking. Not just planning without any action. But it's the doing now today. So we live in now today. Now today. And so when the clock switches over to, 12 o'clock midnight, 12:01, all of a sudden, from our perspective, today, that's tomorrow. But the moment we step over to 12:01, it becomes now today. We're always living in now today. Now today. So learn from the past. Have great plans and desires for the future, but we're living in now today. Now today. See, that's where faith is. Faith is now. Today. Faith is now today. We believe and act on the word now, today. Hallelujah. Now today. Now today. So now let's go ahead. We're still not done. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Sabbath day, seventh day, today. The day of salvation. Now today, now today, now today. Now is the day of salvation. Now today. Hallelujah. We see here Jesus begins to read about himself in the Word of God. And he says this. He says, the Spirit of the Lord, verse 18, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. He's reading from Isaiah 61. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, oppressed, and crushed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Jubilee. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. That's Jubilee. Then he closed the book, or rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And if I remember correctly, sat down in Messiah's chair, which is always empty. He sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, he began to speak his message, he began to preach. He said, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today. Now. Today. Now. Today. Now. Today. So now we see the Sabbath day, supernatural rest and double portion, the seventh day where everything's finished, complete, and done, where he has secured a complete redemption for us through his precious blood, and Jubilee, supernatural debt elimination and restoration. Restoration of things that have been stolen, restoration of things that have been held back, restoration of things that have been lost and forgotten about, right, that have been stolen. Things of the devil just got in the way in. Well, I thought that would come to pass, right? Restoration. Supernatural, debt elimination and restoration. Sabbath rest, supernatural rest, and double portion. Seventh day, where everything's finished, complete, and done, because he's secured a complete redemption for us through his precious blood. Jubilee, supernatural, debt elimination, and restoration. When? Now. Today. When? Now. Today. Now. Today. Now. Today. He said, listen, today the scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today he is proclaiming and declaring to them, I am your Jubilee. I'm your Jubilee. I am your Savior. I am your healer. I am your victory. I am your prosperer. I am your provider. I am your wealth giver. I am your source. I am your protector. I am your victory. I am your salvation. I'm your prosperity. I'm your victory. I'm your avenger. When? Now? Today. He said, today this scripture is fulfilled. Now, today. Now, today. Amen? We need to understand this. Why should we praise him? Because he's the God of our salvation. He's the God of our salvation. He's the God of our deliverance, our healer, our prosperity, our victory. When? Now, today. We praise him because of the seventh day, the Sabbath day, Jubilee. Now, today. It's all available for us. The price has been paid. He's not having to pay the price for our healing. He's not having to. No, it's already a done deal. It's already paid. Once and for all, the price was paid. The blood was shed. We just need to mix faith with the word. We need to believe God's word and act on it to get the results. When? Now, today. Now, today. Amen? Now, today. Glory to God. Now, today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled. Jesus is saying, listen, I'm your Savior, your healer, your provider, your deliverer, your protector, your avenger. I'm your Jubilee. Now, today. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. We'll close in Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. So once again, we see this. Jesus spoke a parable unto them, saying that men, women, that we all ought to pray and not to lose heart. Don't faint, don't give up. Saying there was in a certain city, a judge who did not fear God nor regarded man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. I want you to make things right. I want you to set things right. I want you to put things right. I want justice in my life from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. 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 These four words. Let's say them together. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. These four words are very important because Jesus is going to reference these four words. Lest her continual coming she weary me. Then Jesus, the Lord, said, hear what the unjust judge said. What did the unjust judge said? I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. And Jesus said, verse 7, And shall not God avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. So Jesus says, I want you to pay attention to what the unjust judge said. Because, what did he say? I will avenge her. I will avenge her. I will avenge her. God, will he, won't he? Yes, he will. He will do what? He will avenge us. Say, he will avenge me. He will avenge me. Again, he will avenge me. Let's say that together. He will avenge me. 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 Amen? Hallelujah. He will avenge me. That's what Jesus is trying to get across. This whole parable, he will avenge me. He will avenge me. So, shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out to him day and night? Now again, the word cry is not the word cry and whine and complain and beg. This word cry is the word shout. In the Greek, it's the word shout. Now, it's not shouting at God because we're mad. It's the shout of faith and praise. Why should we praise him? He'll avenge us. Amen? He will avenge us. As we come before him day and night with the shout of faith and praise, thanking him and praising him. Why should we praise him? Because he's the God of our salvation. He's our hope. He's our answer. He's our source. Why should we praise him? Woo! Because he deserves it. Why? Because he wants to do great things in our life. He's already finished, complete, and done it. The price has been paid. We don't have to settle for normal, average, and ordinary. He's got something for us. And so through the shout of faith and praise, woo, we praise him, 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 we glorify him, we thank him. We praise him, we rejoice. Why? Because he's got great things in store for us. Hallelujah. We want to enjoy all that he has for us. The stuff that's finished, complete, and done. The stuff that the blood of Jesus has already bought, purchased for us. He has redeemed us from the curse to the blessing. Hallelujah. So it's a shout of faith and praise. It's a shout of faith and praise. It's a shout of faith and praise day and night. Because we know it's that because verse 8 says, let's listen, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, nevertheless, nevertheless. In other words, it's really contingent on this. It really depends on this. Each and every one of us individually, it depends on this. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? He will avenge you. He will avenge you. He will avenge you. Nevertheless, it's not enough just to know that he will avenge you and then not get it. He says the thing that's going to cause us to get is going to be our faith. We're continuing to shout the shout of faith and praise, rejoicing and praising in him, praising him for what he has already done for us. Will he really find faith on the earth? Will he really find faith? He's looking for faith because faith causes us. See, faith is this process that continues to move us forward in our journey. From destination to destination to destination. Faith moves us forward. Faith takes us to the next destination. Obtain one destination, move us on to the next destination. Amen? The shout of faith and praise gets results. The shout of faith and praise gets results. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. Because we don't want the testimony to be they heard the word, but it didn't profit them because they didn't mix faith with it. We want our testimony to be the shout of faith and praise got results in my life. Amen? The shout of faith and praise gets results. Hallelujah. So we praise him because of the expectation of a good future. We praise him because of our expectation. And we're moving forward. We believe and we're doing. We believe God and we're doing the word. We believe the word, we're doing the word, we're moving forward. This is our victory shout before the battle. Amen? When people go into battle, woo, they shout. They shout their victory shout. You know, if you're an athlete, your team will, you got to shout, you've got to, whatever you do. There's a team, we're going forward. So, this is our victory shout before the battle. See, the thing is, we shout before the battle because we have an expectation of winning because Jesus has already, what? Sabbath rest, seventh day, Jubilee. He's already secured a complete redemption for us through his precious blood. The battle's won. Are we going to experience the victory because we are walking with Him, believing and doing the Word. Hallelujah. An expectation. The shout of faith and praise is an expectation of good future. It's our victory shout. Our shout of faith and praise is for salvation. Our shout of faith and praise is for justice. Our shout of faith and praise is harvest. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Amen? Salvation, deliverance, healing, preservation, justice, where you're setting things right, putting things right, making things right. Woo, glory to God. Harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. We got seed in the ground. We sowing seed. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. It's harvest time. Thank you, Lord. It's salvation time. Thank you, Lord. It's healing time. Thank you, Lord. It's deliverance time. Thank you, Lord. It's victory time. Thank you, Lord. It's harvest time. Thank you, Lord. It's justice. Justice. Thank you, Lord, for justice. Setting things right, putting things right, and making things right in our lives. Amen? It's harvest time. Say it together. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. Amen. Hallelujah. And it comes, why? Because we choose to praise Him. We choose to praise Him. Praise Him. Why? Because He's the God of our salvation. Hallelujah. Good news. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.